It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, welcome Fairbanks to another episode of the exciting Compo Outdoor Show. We are on the last weekend of the fair. Had great weather for this fair so far. It's been really amazing. It's been very unfair-like. But anyway, things are booming over at our booth. We've been selling the heck out of Can-Am ATVs and side-by-sides, even some snow machines. We've got, we only have a few dozen for the season to sell. We've sold everything on our spring order program like 3 years in a row, so kind of snooze you lose now. We've got we do have a good selection of different models, just on not a lot of quantity of any of them. We got a few of our real popular Expedition LEs, some Scandics, Tundras, and a few other backcountry grand touring. Anyway, you don't have to buy them at the fair. You just put $500 down and we hold it until October, and you'll get any. There's incentives on them right now where you can get free accessories or warranty or cash off. So lots of stuff going on there. But the big sellers have been the Can-Ams. They really have taken off our side-by-sides, our Defenders. We just sold them, but we've got a really nice Defender Limited out there, which has got air conditioning that will just blast you out of there. So it's really cool. We had hot, sweaty family walk up to the to the booth, and we gave them free. We have free ice water out there, so we gave them some ice waters. Told them get in the rig, and all five or six of them got in the Can-Am Defender Limited, cranked up the air conditioning. They didn't want to leave. We said, okay, it's we got other people want to check it out, so can you please exit the vehicle? And so that was nice. I mean, it's just kind of cool, nice and hot out there. But anyway, last day and a half here, fair ends tomorrow, so make sure you get out to the fair and check it out. Really good specials. Going in hunting season, we got our six wheelers. I call those the official vehicle of the dark side of the moon. If you talk to anybody that's got one of our six wheel side by sides or even the Outlander, they'll talk your ear off about where they've gone with it, what they can do, how they pulled their buddies out with their regular four wheelers. Just an amazing, amazing vehicle, and really good for hunting season. Almost a guarantee you're going to put meat in the freezer because you can get back to where nobody gets. Check those out. Good specials on them right now. Great interest rates. They just extended the interest rates. It was ending in July. There's some 1.99 and 3.99% financing that goes now through the 20th of the month. So that'll get us obviously through the fair, and you can stop by Compos, afterwards and check that out. Well, today we're just going to, we've got a miss. I got nothing really on the schedule, but I got some fun stuff to do. I always, like playing little parody songs. There's a good one I heard recently that is one I didn't write, but I wish I had. Actually, I might do one to the same tune. It's a great song to do a political parody to. Old Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle. We're going to hear a version of that somebody came out with, a little video song. And I want to talk a little bit about afterwards about our I've been thinking about this a lot. We're going on 78 years in business in Fairbanks, second oldest family-run business in town, as far as I can determine. Wilbur Brothers got us beat, but same family running it. There's a lot of businesses that have switched hands or sold out to corporations or native corporations or whatever. Like Sourdough Express was the oldest company, but they've been bought and sold now. So that doesn't count. I kind of determined that one of the secrets to success of running a business is to innovate, and I started with my grandpa and some of the things he built, and then my dad and kind of a decision he made in 1960. And then I've had some fun success with boat lines over the years. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about our business, which is why we have the Compo Outdoor Show. It's, we're not here to, to promote, what's going on in our schools and educational system now. We've talked about that enough. Anyway, I don't have my good speaker, but we're going to see if we can play this Harry Chapin song. It's about what's going on with Hunter Biden right now. I think it's kind of funny. You're offended? Sorry. There's like 8 or 10 other stations you can flip to if you don't like it. But This is the old Cats in the Cradle song sung by Harry Chapin. Let's see if it works here. Let's see if we can play this song. There it is.
My child called me up just the other day. He said, Dad, I need some crack. Can you help me today? And I had lots of cash, but bills to pay. He said, don't worry, Dad, I'll find another way. He was smoking for I knew it, and away he flew, saying, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. The hookers and drugs were gonna be there soon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'll be good and high by then, Dad. Yeah, I'll be good and high by then.
Picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine.
I'm very proud of my son.
My son came around just the other day. He said, I got me a deal where we can both get paid. Can I trade on your name? I said, sure, okay. Will anyone know? He said, no, no way. And as he walked away, he looked kind of dim and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him.
He's fixed it. He's worked on it.
And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. Ukrainian bribes were gonna be there soon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'll put aside your 10%, Dad. I'll always have your 10%.
So, honey, what are you doing? I said, Dad, I'm fine. He said, you're not fine.
I know how to game the system.
Come on. Come on.
Well, he came from Kiev just the other day. Had a smile so big I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. How's our cash supply? He nodded his head and said,
great big guy, but what I really need, Dad, is to borrow the car keys.
You can take the vet, but watch the boxes, please. And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. Classified papers all over the room. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when.
I'm getting good and high again, Dad. I'm getting good and high again.
He pointed out the reason why he regrets it is he didn't anticipate that thugs like Giuliani would use it to, in fact, try to embarrass his father.
Yes, they are. They're flat thugs.
Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
I stole an election and my son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, you owe some cash, I want my cut today. He said,
calm down, Dad, you know it's on the way. But my laptop is gone and now it's on you. And now we're both really screwed, Dad. And now we're both gonna be screwed.
As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he was damn near dumber than me. My boy was dumb as me. And there was Hunter in the basement with a silver spoon. All of our crimes were coming out real soon. When's it all end, son? I don't know when.
But we're gonna end up in the pen, Dad. We're both gonna be in the pen.
I am absolutely certain, 100% certain, that at the end of the investigation, that I will be cleared of any wrongdoing.
God save the Queen, man.
All right. That's I don't know who did that, but that's an old Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle, which I think was a perfect little parody tune for what's going on with my least favorite president and his son and this whole fiasco and how they can keep throwing allegations at Trump to distract everybody from the real criminal, the guy who's pocketing money. It's one thing, Trump might not be perfect, but the one thing you cannot accuse him as is trying to financially gain the system by putting our government at jeopardy. He's a true patriot, a real American, whether you like his decisions, his policies, or regulations or lack thereof or not. You can't argue the guy is a real American. So anyway, that's my little soapbox and having a little fun there. But anyway, we'll get back to some business-related stuff, get that fun stuff out of the way. I was talking before the song about just kind of how innovating is, it's not only fun and exciting and it can be profitable, sometimes not. Sometimes you try something, it doesn't work, but you don't learn if you don't try. So that started back in the 40s with my grandfather, who started our shop in 1945 here in Fairbanks, a machinist by trade, came up out of Washington State, went to work for the FE company as a machinist. He was real talented in that area. We still have his lathe in our shop. We still use it selectively, but we use it like he lived on that thing in the early days. But anyway, you know, he was, his claim to fame was he liked to get further up the river than anybody. It's kind of a tradition with our family. We like to just find the end of these rivers, get away from folks, and just challenge yourself and your boat and your motor and your lift and everything, and see how far you can go. He developed a portable lift in 1947, I think, is when they were really starting to build them, which was a mechanical spring-loaded device that bolted to the back of the boat that you hung the outboard motor on, so that when you were going from a foot and a half of water down to 4 or 5 inches of water, you could lean on the lever, which the spring lifted the motor, and then you could skim through shallow waters without busting shear pins. That's back in the days when you carried a fistful of shear pins everywhere you went, because you'd shear a pin when the prop hit the bottom. So this allowed boats and boat owners to go much further up these shallow water rivers. He had a whole series of them. Most of them were designed originally for like a 20 or 30 horse outboard motor, something around 100, 150 pounds. Eventually he had a whole series. He had the ones that had the big bungee cords. They used to get it. I remember going with my dad over to Bochner's Aircraft, and getting big bungees that would go from the side of the boat to the transom to help with the physical lifting of the lift. You know, the bungees would wear out. Eventually you'd have to replace those. He had them where the center steering console of the boat would pivot. And so if you leaned forward on the steering wheel and the whole console moved forward, the motor would go up. I mean, I think I remember 70 horse motors on that system. So I just take more leverage. But anyway, Grandpa had that all figured out. He had a lot of business from that. That's kind of what got him on the map and allowed people to get further up the river, get their moose, you know, get out of town further and not just be stuck around the deeper parts of these tributaries. You know, you could go up the Charlie River. I remember my dad telling me, I think the first time Grandpa went up, he had a 1954 Evinrude Zephyr 7.5 horse. I'll have to look that up because that stays in my mind. And he had a 30-foot canvas-covered canoe, and he went up the Charlie River. It must have taken him weeks to get up there. But he built a cabin up there, which still is up there. I don't know if he built it or if he owned it for a while. It may have been a trapper's cabin. I can't remember if he built it or if he just kind of took it over. But it's still up there. I think it's about 8 miles up the river. It's featured in a book I talked about on a few episodes ago, on a book called 81 Days Below Zero, where that big aircraft, Army aircraft, crashed up in headwaters of the Charlie River, and the guy walked for 81 days before he walked down to this trapper's cabin, which is the cabin my grandpa had, and walked right into camp. And there was a guy in there, a trapper, and was shocked to see somebody in there in the middle of winter. So he got him on a dog sled, took him over to Woodchopper, that area on the Yukon, and flew him out. They flew him out to Fairbanks, where his family had written him off for dead, and Army had quit looking for him. So it was a pretty amazing story, but it all goes back to a cabin my grandpa had on the Charlie River in the 40s. So a lot of history there. We'll go into phase 2 and 3 of that story and kind of what the future holds in this power sports and marine industry and the history in Fairbanks. We'll be back after a couple of short breaks, and we'll talk a little more shop, have a little more fun. We'll see you after the break.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed: Compos' passion for getting you outdoors. and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, Fairbanks. We're having a little fun here on the radio on a Saturday. Remember, the fair is going on today. You got today and tomorrow to get there. There's actually some really cool stuff to look at, specifically at Compos booth. Yeah, imagine that. Can-Am, Ski-Doos, side-by-sides. We got big sales on everything. So if you're getting ready for hunting season, check it out. We've also got a new thing called the Tiger Tail. It's really cool. It slides into your rear receiver on your four-wheeler or snow machine, and it's got a, 12, 15-foot, 8,000-pound test rope, big diameter, that's retractable on there. So if you get somebody stuck, you just go back rather than running the winch cable all the way out. You're facing away from them now, and you just pull this rope with a hook on it, hook it onto their rig, get back on your rig and tow them out, and it retracts as it pulls up, so you're not running over a cable. Really a clever system. Won a bunch of awards for it. We got them on sale under $300 at the show. You can go out there and tell them you want one. We'll put a hold on one for you. You can pick it up at the shop, or you can just go over to Compos on Boat Street and pick one up there. So lots of neat stuff to look at. We've got our six wheelers out there, just all kinds of fun stuff, out at the fair. There's always a lot of stuff. I always mention that the fair should probably be sponsored by the company that makes the diabetes medicine, because you can eat some stuff out there that's really not. It's tasty, really tasty, but not very good for you. So anyway, that's just one thing you can do. We are going to continue with. A discussion we were having regarding the kind of the innovations that have driven our company over the years. I talked before the break about my grandfather and his portable lift and how that kind of took off and everybody wanting to go further and further in shallow waters. And then late 50s, my dad and grandpa were playing with they took a power head off an Evinrude motor, and my grandpa fabricated a jet off the lathe, fabricated a jet unit and inset it like a little mini inboard jet. Nobody had those, and put it on the inside of a little Washita riverboat. I think it was a 16-footer. Anyway, they were tooling around the river and skimming over a couple inches of water. This is in mid-October, 13th of October. I remember him telling me, and they were so excited about it, and we're going to get up the next morning and fine-tune the steering and everything, and there was 2 or 3 inches of ice on the river the next morning. This was mid-October. So they had to put the boat on Pan Am, flew it down to Seattle, to keep testing it. I think he said he remembered it, ridiculous freight. It was 19 cents a pound to ship that boat. He thought that was high. Yeah, try shipping a small package of fish across the country or something now and see what it cost you. But anyway, so they did a bunch of testing then. But they heard about this guy in California, Dick Stallman, who had a was a ball bearing manufacturer, and so he apparently had a unit that bolts on the bottom of an outboard, a real crude prototype. So they flew down to see him after testing for a week in on the Snohomish River, and then he went. You know, they figured he was a year or two ahead of them with his testing, and it was kind of neat because you could put it on any outboard. They sold Evinrude at the time, but you could put it on any. You know, they made one. They could make one for anyone. And so my dad thought this was a big market potentially. The guy really wasn't a businessman. He was just an inventor and a tinkerer. And so anyway, my dad took him down to a bank. They got a line of credit. He got him funded with a 100 unit order. So that's what got the outboard jet company off the ground in 1960, the year I was born. Anyway, so that became huge. We were the distributor for the outboard jet for many years, and sold them to other dealers, sold them to individuals, and just allowed people to go a lot of places that they couldn't go normally. You'd take a novice boat driver, and it made it a lot easier about getting up a skinny channel versus a prop drive, which was pretty intimidating if you didn't know what you were doing, and even if you did sometimes. So that was cool. And so that kind of took off from 1960 to the 90s, outboard jet. And of course, the big inboard jet got real popular. They're a lot heavier, though, so there were some downside there, but there was advantages as well. And then in the late 90s, I remember we were up the river, 98, we were up the Kandik River hunting with the guys from Phantom, which they were building us outboard boats for our Evinrude jet motors, the Big John, the Big Bad John, 21, 24 footers, and as well as they were building other boats. But anyway, we were sitting around a campfire there one night, and Mercury had just announced they were coming out with this inboard jet motor, and the conversation came up. I asked the guys, I said, "Hey, has anybody ever put an inboard jet on a tunnel hull like you do with the outboard, a tunnel to make it run shallower?" And yeah, they shook their head. I said, "Well, we're going to build one." We had a few beers and decided we're going to do it. And so I ordered a prototype motor from Merck, had it delivered to Lewiston, Idaho. They did the installation, testing. We had to change the tunnel a couple of times, but that was the initial Phantom Sport John. And I remember when they sent it up to us to test it, first they didn't want to send it up. They worked so good, they just wanted to hang on to it and show it off around there. I said, no. That's not the deal. So they sent it up, and we gave rides in it, and people were putting money down on them like it was going out of style. They couldn't believe the thrust, the speed, the fuel economy. And that was just the 175 carbureted model, which later they came out with the 200 horse, which was way more fuel efficient, quieter, and everything else. So that was kind of the next development in the marine industry in the state of Alaska, and it took off like crazy. People kept copying the design, and rather than get tied up with patent attorneys and everything else, we just continued to innovate. Like, we came out with a plastic bottom that isn't bolted onto the bottom of the boat. It's adhered on with a special process, which is really kind of technical and difficult. I've described the process before to people, how you have to sand, you've got to prime, then you've got to airbag the material. It's UHMW is that plastic, but this particular product has got like a woven fiber on one side of it that goes against the boat so that it bonds with this special cement we use. It's an expensive add-on. I couldn't imagine having a boat without it anymore. I love it. Anyway, who knows what's next? Now we got the EcoBoost boat in a motor in the boat, which is 310 horse, 315 foot-pounds of torque, better on fuel. So there's just it's an advancement that keeps going, and you can do unfortunately, they're a year and a half out on orders. So, but if you're interested in one of these boats and you want to learn more, go to Compos, or you can you can read up on that engine. The Ford EcoBoost motor, it's a really impressive motor. And that's the motor that's replacing the Mercury Sportjet motor now. So you can find that out. With that, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. Maybe we'll listen to another song. I was going through my library of songs on AlaskanSongs.com and was finding some of the older ones. There's an old one, Obamaville, which I probably wrote back in 2010. I haven't heard it forever. I think we'll try and play that one. The old Jimmy Buffett song, Obamaville, this one's called, instead of Margaritaville.
Living on welfare, just me and my gal here, alone in this trailer with curtains of foil, thumbing my six string on my front porch swing. I smell of top ramen beginning to boil. Wasting away again here in Obamaville. Gotta move, I'm 6 months into fall. Some people claim that it's George Bush we should blame, but I know it's Obama's fault. Don't know the reason, can't get him for treason. A mosque at ground zero, how can you outdo? Yeah, he's a bit loony, I think he's half Sunni. How he got in, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again here in Obamaville. Out of work and 6 months into fall. Some people claim that it's Fox News we should blame. Oh yeah, sure, it's Sean Hannity's fault. He's starting to flip-flop, a John Kerry knockoff. We'll say what they want to the folks in the room. Has become quite a lender of my legal tender. That big federal handout is where we went wrong. Wasting away again here in Obamaville. Searching for my lost pride and left ball. Some people claim that it's Glenn Beck we should blame, but we know it's Obama's fault.
Yeah, it's Roger McGill and an old song, Obamaville, sung to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. You know, you got to laugh. That was, I don't know, probably written in 2011, a couple of years after Obama got in. And he talked about that big federal handout is where we went wrong. That big federal handout was nothing compared to what Biden's doing. You know, just saw this week the country got downgraded to AA from AAA. It's only the second time in history that's happened. And it's, you know, it's obviously no doubt from this fiscal policy, spend. Just don't worry about having to pay it back. And the cost of our borrowing is going up like crazy. So it's going to get interesting, you know. Not a perfect scenario, but we all have a choice when it's time to go to the polls. I think this year what's got to happen is we got to get our act together compared to a lot of the other side that seems to have way more free time than we do, and they take advantage of it, and they do things that get votes out. So we got to get the vote out. You got to tell everybody you know how important it is to vote. You know, it's the one thing we can do in this country to make a change. Otherwise, don't call into this show and complain. Don't call into any show and complain. Just get out and do something about it. Anyway, that's the end of the show. This is Craig Compo with the Compo Outdoor Show. Make sure you get to the fair today or tomorrow. Last call. Come out and say hi. I'll probably be out there, and let's come on out. I'll tell you a good joke or something. Have fun and be safe.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.